Well, it's good to be home. We had a great conference. It was a very exceptional, a beautiful place, beautiful spirit, beautiful services, great word of God, and we'll be sharing more of that with you a little bit later. Sunday night was a crusade service. More than 375 people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And right there at the conference, 112 people were baptized in Jesus' name during that one service. Praise God. Amen. That's the way I like to have church. My folks are getting the Holy Ghost out there. People are being baptized up here. Amen. And so that was wonderful, wonderful sight. Culmination of a lot of hard work, a lot of prayer. Amen. And I'm sure we'll be having other great reports that, you know, sometimes you don't, in a crowd that size, you don't know everything that happens for a while. Amen. Sister Marlena mentioned several weeks ago in her missions report, Timo Simono, who was a young missionary boy, about 12 years old maybe. And he had a very severe meningitis disease and didn't expect him, first of all, to survive. Then if he survived, that he wouldn't be anything, but, you know, he'd be affected mentally and physically. Amen. He was at that conference. He was standing there on the platform in front of all those people. He was whole. He's walking around. But you know what? He had in one of his ears, he still didn't have hearing. And they prayed for him. Praise God. And in a few minutes, he said, I can hear. I can hear. I can hear. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. God's still in the healing business. There was a lady there Sunday night that was in an accident. And she hadn't walked since she was 18 years old. She was older than that now. And they prayed for her, and she said for the first time since the accident, which would have been some 10 years or so ago, I don't remember exactly, she said, I have feeling in my legs. Amen. And then a little while, she got up out of her wheelchair and she started walking. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody said, if he did it for her, he can do it for me. And if he did it there, he can do it here. And if he did it then, he can do it now. Praise God. Amen. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And the Bible assures us that God is no respecter of persons. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. What a great God we serve tonight. Amen. So we had a great time. Again, thank you so very much for the sacrifice you made to help us to get there, to send us. We thank you very, very much. It was a wonderful time. Saw many, many, many of our friends, and that's always a great part of conference, is getting to see people that you've known many years and good fellowship. So we'll share more of you with those things with you a little later. Amen. Remember, let's see, we have next week is Fall Fest. Amen. So we need candies to be brought in this week. There's a basket out there to receive that, and canned goods to be brought in for the stew. Amen. So remember those things. We're looking forward to that, aren't we? We have the Pentecostal Pavilion to celebrate under this year. Amen. A great place for it. And so we're looking forward to a wonderful time of fellowship. Praise God. Sunday morning is teachers' meeting. Is that correct? It's Margaret, 8:59. Amen. All right. So all the teachers, remember teachers' meeting on Sunday morning. Praise God. All right. Any other particular things we need to mention? All right, let's stand together tonight and go to the word of the Lord. Praise God. Amen. I want to read a verse tonight from 2 Corinthians 2 Corinthians, the second chapter. And I want to read two verses, verse number 10 and verse number 11. Amen. Let me say it's good to see everybody. Amen. And I see some faces I don't recognize, but we're glad you're here tonight. Amen. Sister Rhonda, this lady that's by you, your cousin, okay, we're glad you're here. God bless you. Good to see you tonight. Amen. All right, reading from the 10th verse of 2 Corinthians, the second chapter. Paul said, "To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Everybody say, we're not ignorant. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not ignorant. Amen. Isn't that a relief? Aren't we glad we got that out of the way? Amen. One guy read the verse wrong. He said, "I would not have you ignorant, brethren." So he got it all wrong. That's not the way it is. But we are not ignorant of his devices. Praise God. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. This word ignorant is somewhat of a special word. You know, we can just be dumb and not help it. Can't we? We've done some dumb stuff sometimes, and that's a different thing. But when the word ignorant means to ignore something. Can you hear me? I can hear me fine, but all right. My voice is really bad. I don't know why. It's shot. But anyway, we'll try to get through this. But when we're ignorant, we ignore some things. Some things that should be obvious to us. But we ignore some things to our peril. We ignore it, and then we find ourselves in trouble. But the Bible says, we are not going to ignore Satan's devices. Amen. We're not going to ignore those things. Because he has some plans, some purposes, some perceptions that he wants to lay a trap for you and me. And I've said before, I say again, that the devil, it's not that he's all that smart. It's just that he's been doing this for thousands of years. He knows human beings like no one else knows human beings. He studies human behavior. He knows us. Now, please understand tonight, the devil is not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. The devil does not know what you're thinking unless you open your mouth and let him know. The devil doesn't know you're discouraged unless you tell him you're discouraged. The devil doesn't know you feel like quitting and giving up unless you open your mouth and tell him you feel like quitting and giving up. The devil doesn't know a whole lot of things about you until you open your mouth and tell him. And then he knows where your weaknesses are. And then he knows where to strike, because he has observed and he has watched you and he's heard some of the things that you say. And then he realizes, now I know what to work on. Amen. So we need to keep our mouth closed about some things. Hallelujah. Amen. Just don't let him know how you're feeling. Praise God. Just don't tell him how you're feeling right now. Amen. Just go around talking about the victory. Praise God. Talking about praising the Lord. Talking about victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. When we do that, you see, he gets all confused and he doesn't know where to strike. So he's ignorant, or we're not ignorant of his devices. We know a lot of things about him because the Bible has declared them tonight. The first time that we ever meet this being that we call the devil or Satan, he's simply called the serpent. And he appears in the first time as far as his association with the human family. Now, in eternity past, there was a great war in heaven, the Bible says. And Satan was cast out. And he was cast down to the earth. And so at some point in time, probably between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, there was a conflict. Because the Bible talks about the earth when God started moving on it. It was in existence, but it was in pretty sad shape. The Bible said darkness was upon the face of the deep. And waters covered all of the earth. And then God began to speak and light began to shine. And the waters separated from the dry land. And the darkness and the night and the light were separated. And God began to do some great works. Amen. But then in the third chapter of Genesis, again, the devil shows up. And he shows up, and the first thing that he said is, "Hath God said?" Anytime the devil opens his mouth, it is to question the Word of God. The Bible says the truth is not in him. So he only has questions. He has no answers. He only has questions. And he has a lot of children today. I remember back in the 60s and the 70s, during what we call then the hippie movement. That was the cry of the day. Question everything. And so today we have a lot of questions, but nobody has very many answers. But I'm here to tell you tonight that the Word of God still has answers. Hallelujah. But we live in a generation that doesn't want answers. They just want to ask questions. Amen. Praise God. Devil, the first thing the devil said, "Hath God said?" Whenever Jesus spoke, he said, "It is written." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I already have the answer. It's written down. I know where it is. It's in a book. I can lay my hand on it. I can read it. I can hold it. I can clutch it. I can reassure myself over and over and over again. Amen. Praise God. But the devil is good at asking questions. That's all he does. He doesn't know truth because there's no truth in him. But he's real good at asking questions. Amen. He's good at putting questions in your mind. And isn't that exactly what he did to Eve? What did he do? He just put a question mark in her mind. He said, "Has God said that you can't eat of every tree in the garden?" She said, "Well, every tree but this one right here." Amen. Now, isn't it amazing how he knew how to focus her attention on the one thing that she was not supposed to have? I mean, there was multiplied millions of trees in the garden, and there was one tree she shouldn't eat of. Huh? That's amazing, isn't it? How he knows how to focus our attention on the forbidden and to put questions in our mind. If God really loved you, he wouldn't withhold this from you. If God really loved you, he wouldn't say no. If God really loved you, because if you just eat this, you're going to be just like God. You'll know good and evil. Well, the fact of the matter is, she already knew good. And God was trying to keep them from knowing evil. He didn't want them to have to contend with that. There's some things you're better off not knowing. Amen. You know, after sin, there's some things we have to try to unlearn. And it's not easy to unlearn something. As a matter of fact, it's like a scar. It stays with you the rest of your life. The blood can heal the wound, but the scar remains. Amen. And so Satan came, and he came as a tempter. And he was very good at his work. And of course, Eve fell into sin, and Adam after her. Now somebody made the distinction that Eve was deceived, but Adam was just simply disobedient. God had spoken specifically to Adam and said, don't eat this tree or you'll die. God didn't tell that to Eve. Adam may have told that to Eve. But Adam heard it directly from the Lord himself. He knew better. Now, I don't know why Adam, if he was there with Eve, looks like he would have stopped her from eating. Caused a lot of questions, doesn't it? I don't know if he was upset with her that day or just what. Amen. I don't know what the problem was. I don't know if he was going to see if God was going to keep his word, and since she didn't die, he ate too. I don't know. I'm going to ask him one of these days, Adam, what in the world were you thinking, son? I don't know. There's a lot of unanswered questions in the Bible. But Adam was deceived, and of course he ate, and sin came in, and they were cast out of the garden. And a lot of things began to transpire from that point on. 55 times in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Bible uses the word Satan. The word Satan means adversary or opponent. Somebody that opposes you. He's against you. Everywhere you go, he's against you. Amen. But guess what? We're against him too. Hallelujah. Praise God. But more than that, Jesus Christ is against him. And the blood of the Lamb is against him. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. Praise God. We're assured of the victory in Jesus Christ. But we do have an adversary. And then 61 times in the New Testament, we use the word devil. The word is diablos. And it means a slanderer or a false accuser. The Bible said that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. That's why I've always hated the devil. He chides you and tempts you until you fall, and then he goes and tattles on you. He's just a big old tattletale. He goes and tells God what you've been up to. Amen. He already knew. Amen. I don't like tattletales. I never did like tattletales. Amen. I tried not to be a tattletale. My brother helped beat that out of me real early. I was afraid to be a tattletale. I knew what he'd do to me if I did. Amen. But the devil is an accuser. He's always accusing. That's just what he does. He's an accuser of the brethren. Hallelujah. But you know what? He can't accuse the church that's been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I like the missionary that was having great revival, and the witch doctor showed up, and he said to the missionary, he said, I'm going to embarrass you in front of all of your people. He said, how are you going to do that? He said, I'm going to reveal your sin. He said, the God that I serve can tell me what your sins are, and I'll reveal them before the people. And so he started doing his mumbo jumbo. And in a little while, he got this perplexed look on his face. And he looked at the missionary and he said, I don't know what's going on. He said, what do you mean? He said, I've always been able to do this. Missionary said, you can't find my sins. He said, why not? He said, because I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And God cast him into the sea of forgetfulness, and they'll never be remembered against me again. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, folks, he's still an accuser. He tries. But God is the judge. And when God opens the book, he said there, I can't see anything but some blood-stained pages. Hallelujah. The record has been washed. And it's clean today. And it's all taken away by the blood of the Lamb. He can accuse today. But I'm telling you, friend, if you've been baptized in the name of Jesus, the blood has washed away all of your sin. I like what the old preacher said. He said, God cast our sins in the sea of forgetfulness and then put up a big old sign that said, no fishing. Hallelujah. Praise God, no fishing. Praise God, the devil can't fish there. Hallelujah. You better not go fishing there either. Once it's under the blood, let it go. Now the devil will try to bring it back to you. He'll try to accuse you. When you get in the house of the Lord and you get right into a good spirit of worship, and all of a sudden he'll drag up some old thing that's under the blood, and if you'll latch on to it, he'll steal your joy and he'll steal your victory. Praise God. But you don't let him do that. Hallelujah. Said, hey, oh no, that's under the blood. Praise God. Yeah, I remember that. But Jesus forgave me. I think I'll just shout a little bit, because he washed it all away, and he took away my guilt, and he took away my shame, and all of my sin has been buried in the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he is an accuser. Amen. We know that he's a liar. Doesn't the Word of God tell us he's a liar? Amen. John chapter 8 verse 44 said, he's talking to the Pharisees here. He said, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Now, you know what they were trying to do right then? They were trying to kill Jesus Christ. He said, I recognize that spirit. I saw that in your father. They tried to claim God as their father. He said, if God was your father, you'd do the works of your father. You're not doing the works of your father, God. Amen. You're doing the works of your father, the devil. So he said he was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Amen. Praise God. The devil is the father of lies. And somebody said the best way to know whether he's lying or not is if his lips are moving. That's a good way, because he doesn't have any truth. He cannot speak truth. It does not reside in him. Amen. Even when he tries to quote the Word of God, he gets it wrong, doesn't he? God said, thou shalt surely die. Satan got close, but he couldn't get there. He said, thou shalt not surely die. So he got a knot in his tail, even from the beginning. He's never been able to quote the Word of God. He never will. He's not able to do that, because the truth is not in him. Amen. So he is a liar. Everybody say he's a liar.
He's a liar.
So anytime you hear from him, you're not ignorant of his devices. Amen. No matter what he says to you, he's lying. Amen. No matter how good he tells you it's going to be, he's lying. Amen. We know that's true. Every time he's ever tempted us and we gave in, we wound up feeling so bad, and what he said was going to happen didn't happen. Amen. He forgot to tell us about the hook that was in there. Praise God. He forgot to tell us about the misery that was in sin. He forgot to tell us about the bondage that was in sin. He forgot to tell us about the bitterness that was in sin. He forgot to tell us about the heartache that was in sin. He forgot to tell us about all of the damage that was in sin. Amen. He's a liar. And any time he talks to you, just know that he's lying. You're not ignorant of his devices. You know he's a liar. Amen. The Bible said he's the author of confusion. Amen. He's the author of confusion. Where there's confusion, you know the devil's at work. God is not the author of confusion. So when there's confusion going on, God's not in it. When there's confusion going on, God is not in it. He's the author of confusion. The Bible said, and Jesus gave us the parable of the tares. Remember that parable? He said that God sowed good seed, and at night an enemy came and sowed some tares among the wheat. And so they said, well, what are we going to do? He said, well, let them grow up together. Let me just say today, you got to be careful about dealing with people. I've heard people say, I wouldn't put up with that if I was the pastor. That's why you're not the pastor. You can look at this parable and look what it's saying. Amen. You hear what I'm saying tonight? There are some things we just have to be a little patient with. Because you can pull up something, and you can pull up some wheat with some tares. And you can hurt some good people with some tares. And you can destroy some good saints of God while you're trying to deal with a tare. If you'll just let them grow up together, God's going to take care of some business at the end of the way here. Amen. But sometimes we want to get ahead of ourselves or yield to some pressure and deal with some things we don't need to be dealing with. Amen. Praise God. I've seen it happen, and so have you. There are some good people that are not in the church today because they were dealt with in a way that caused the wheat to be torn up with the tares. Amen. So listen today. And we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. When there's confusion, we know he's involved in it. And if you create confusion, guess whose kid you are right then? Woo! Amen. If you like to stir up confusion, you need to check your spirit. Amen. You need to go back and see who your daddy is. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. We're not ignorant of his devices. We're not ignorant of his devices. You remember one time Jesus turned around to Peter. It's interesting to me. It's in the same chapter. Remember where Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And a few verses later, Jesus said, "Thou art Simon. Blessed art thou, Simon Jonah. For flesh and blood is not revealed to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church." And gave him the keys of the kingdom. And a few verses later, he turned around and he said, "Get behind me, Satan." See? Why? Because he was of a different spirit then. You got to be careful who you're working with, folks. Amen. He was trying to plant some confusion there. And God put him in his place. Amen. And so he's the author of confusion, and he creates confusion, and God hates confusion. Amen. Praise God. The Bible lets us know that the devil is a thief. He steals things. The first thing the devil wants to steal tonight in this service is the Word of God in your heart. The Bible tells us in a parable that Jesus gave, chapter 13 of Matthew, he said that Satan comes and steals the Word of God out of people's hearts. It's the first thing he'll do. Amen. You ever been in a real good church service and he did everything he could to take the Word away from you before you got out of there? He'd create all kinds of scenarios in your life, and he would try to steal your joy, and he would try to dampen your peace, praise God, because he knows if he can steal the Word of God, he can make you miserable, and he can create confusion in your life. Amen. But you're not ignorant of his devices. When you get a word from God, you hang on to it with everything you've got. Amen. I heard from the Lord. Praise God. Amen. I've had people try to take the word of the Lord away from me. Amen. God called us to go in the foreign missions and go to Colombia, and we had people trying to talk us out of that. Are you sure you heard from God? You sure you didn't have too much pizza? Amen. And then we started having troubles and problems and difficulties and trials. And somebody said, "If you were in the will of God, that wouldn't be happening. Get behind me, Satan." Amen. I heard from the Lord. Praise God. When you hear from God, you hang on to it, folks. You don't let anything take that word away from you. When God speaks, you latch on to it, because he said, "My word is forever settled." Hallelujah. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. When you get a word from God, hang on to it, folks. Don't let anything take it away. We're not ignorant of his devices. We are not ignorant of his devices. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I want to love the Word of God. How about you? And I don't want anything to take it away from me. Hallelujah. Praise God. The devil is the instigator of evil. The Bible said that John chapter 13, verse 2, it says that Satan put into Judah's heart to sell Jesus Christ. He put it in there. Now, Judas let him put it in there. He held on to some things, a covetous nature that created an opportunity for that. That's why we've got to be careful. The Bible said, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We have to guard this old heart, folks. Amen. And don't, if you have a tendency to be covetous, you need to be the best giver in the church. Amen. That's right. If that's your tendency, you say, oh no, devil. If you want me to hang on to it, I'm just going to start getting rid of it. Amen. Praise God. Whatever your tendency is, you go the other way. And don't give place to the devil. Amen. Don't give him an opportunity. He looks for weaknesses such as covetousness in Judah's heart. And then he put into his heart. Amen. And then a little later in, what is it, the 26th verse or so, it says that he moved into his heart. That's a tragic verse, isn't it? It's a powerful verse. Amen. The Bible said, and after Jesus gave him the sop, Satan entered into him. You open the door, and he'll come in. Amen. Praise God. So, but we're not ignorant of his devices. I said, we're not ignorant of his devices. We know who he is. We know what he is. Let me just give us tonight a few things here, and I'm going to wind this down in just a minute. But there's a couple of things here that will really help us in dealing with the devil. First of all, is that we have to forgive. A spirit of unforgiveness is an opportunity for Satan to move in. That's what Paul was talking to us about in the verses that I read at the beginning of this study tonight. He said, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes, for I forgave I it in the person of Christ. And then listen to this. Lest Satan get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. In other words, what he's saying is unforgiveness opens an opportunity for Satan to work in your life. Unforgiveness. When he sees unforgiveness, that is a sign to him that there's an opportunity here. And so forgiveness is very important, folks, that we forgive and not allow unforgiveness to give opportunity for the devil to work in our lives and in our hearts. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27, he said, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. You see, he's linking two things. He's linking anger and the devil, giving place to the devil, or opportunity for the devil to work. Anger can do that, can't it? Have you ever been angry at somebody? And you just hung on to it? Caused you a lot of misery, didn't it? Shake your head like this right here, yeah, brother. That caused me a lot of misery. That's why he said, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Be angry and sin not. Now, folks, we're going to get angry at times. I'm glad that verse is in there. Amen. Because we're going to get angry at times in life. You're going to get angry at people. And so, but you don't sin when you get angry. You learn how to control your anger. You control the words you speak. Most of the time, it's better not to say anything. I've heard people say, well, it's just as bad to think it as to say it wrong. Oh, no. Oh, no. It's a whole lot better to bite your tongue. Amen. The devil doesn't know what I'm thinking, but he knows what I say. And people don't know what I'm thinking, but they know what I say. And people don't hold my thoughts against me because they don't know what I'm thinking, but they'll hold my words against me. So it's better just to hang on. Amen. Be angry and sin not. One of the first things we sin with is this little red devil behind the pearly white gates, our tongue. That's what gets us in more trouble than anything. Amen. Don't sin with your fist either. Or a rock. Or a club or anything else. Just don't sin. Be angry, but sin not. Amen. And so anger can create an opportunity for the devil. The Bible says neither give place. That means a foothold or an opportunity for the devil to work in your life. And anger can do that. Amen. So there's times we will be angry. But we need to cool down. Amen. Keep our mouth shut. Cool down. Amen. And then just hang on a little bit. Amen. Pray through. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Just pray through. And don't give place to the devil. Amen. So the Bible lets us know very plainly. Those are two areas that we have to be very careful. Amen. And then James has a wonderful verse. James chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Talks about God, but he giveth more grace. Everybody say more grace. You already have grace, but he gives more grace. And that's what we need tonight is more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Amen. That verse is so powerful to me. It says God literally resists proud people. He won't even let them come to him. He resists them. You ever felt resistance trying to get to God? Check your spirit. If pride is there, you're not going to make much progress. God's not going to let you. Amen. But when we humble ourselves, then the Bible says he gives us grace and he literally draws us to him. This next verse is a verse that's often quoted, but usually people don't say much about the first part. It said, submit yourself. Everybody say submit. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, if we don't do the first part, we're not going to do the second part very well. First of all, we have to submit ourselves to God. Amen. When we're submitted to God, then we can resist the devil. But if we're not submitted to God, we probably won't resist the devil. Amen. Praise God. Submission is whenever you submit yourself to God, and then temptation knocks on the door, and you send God to answer. He takes care of it instead of opening the door yourself. But you see, when we're submitted to God, we resist the devil and he flees from us. But we have to submit to the Lord first. Submission is the key here. We're not ignorant of his devices. Amen. If there's one thing I know, I am no match for the devil on my own. Amen. But I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Through the power of the blood, we do have victory today over our enemies. Hallelujah. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. He said, first of all, be sober. Now that means exactly what it says. Don't be under the influence of anything, to the point that you become inebriated or you lose control. Now, of course, we often apply that to alcohol, but it's more than just alcohol. You can get high on yourself. You can get high on pride. Yes, you can. You can get to thinking you're really something. Amen. And you're not very sober, because you're full of yourself. And so there's a lot of things that we can be full of. But he said, be sober. Be thinking right. And then he said, be vigilant. Be watchful. Be watchful. Amen. And then he says, your adversary, the devil. The word adversary actually means devil. Amen. The devil. As a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And so we know that we have an enemy. We know that he wants to do us damage. And so he says, you watch out for him. You stay sober. Amen. You stay vigilant. Amen. Because we do, everybody say, we have an adversary. But we're not ignorant of his devices. Amen. Now let me make one thing very clear tonight. Satan is not a lion. He's a liar, but he's not a lion. He goeth about like a roaring lion. But he is not a lion. There's just one lion in the scripture. Amen. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. And his name is Jesus. He's the lion. Amen. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Satan's just a cheap imitation. Amen. Praise God. Verse 9. Whom resist. Everybody say resist. There's that word again. Resist. Steadfast. In the faith. In other words, you know what's right. You just keep stamping on it. You just keep standing. You just keep doing what's right. The devil can't handle that very long. You just keep doing what's right. You don't let him stop you. You just keep standing on what's right. And you just keep doing what's right. And he can't resist that. Amen. Resist him, the Bible said. In the faith. Praise God. He cannot resist that. And then the Bible said, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished on your brethren that are in the world. There's not anything happening in your life that's not happening to other people. It seems that way sometimes, doesn't it? Poor me. Always me. Why doesn't this ever happen to anybody else? Just me. Always me. Oh, no. There's things happening to people every day. It happens to your brethren in the world, and it happens to the world itself. But the good thing is, what did the scripture say? That it rains on the just and the unjust. The same things happen to people. Same things happen to you before you came to God as happened to you after you come to God. But the difference is now you have Jesus on your side. Hallelujah. God is with you. And you're not walking this way alone. And you have promised in the Word of God that will apply to you. Hallelujah. And you cannot lose in this race. Praise God. I read a book several years ago by an author. I think it was Judson Cornwell. Cornwall, I think it is. And in that book, he had a very interesting experience. He said the Lord gave him a vision. And in the vision, he saw himself, and he was living in this really, really beautiful, plush room. It was nice. It was comfortable. It had carpet on the floor, and it had the conveniences. He said, but when he got to looking around, that room was a jail cell, and he recognized that he was, even though he'd been in there a long time, and it felt like home. It was a prison. And the Lord was calling him. He said, Judson, he said, come out of there. And so he walked over to the door and he stepped out and he saw the long hallway leading out. And he said, when he stepped out there, he heard this really loud roar coming down the hallway. And it scared him so bad, he jumped back in his cell and slammed the door. And the Lord said again, he said, Judson, he said, I said, come out of there. And he began to tell the Lord, he said, God, I can't come out of here. He said, there's a lion down at the end of this hallway waiting to devour me. He said, don't be afraid. He said, I'm going to walk with you. I'm just telling you, come out of there. So he stepped out of his jail cell and he started walking down that hallway. And as he stepped out, that roar came again. And the closer he got to the end of the hall, the louder and the more ferocious the roar was. And he was still, his heart was just full of fear, but he just by faith kept on walking. He said, and when he got to the end of the hall, there was a great anger that came over him. He said, because there was no lion there, but there was this huge amplification power, this PA system with huge speakers, and it was a recording of the lion roaring. And he had been petrified by nothing but a roar. Amen. The Satan, the Bible said, is a roaring lion, or as a roaring lion. He's a lot of sound. The Bible said he's the prince of the power of the air. He's full of air. Amen. He's full of sound. Praise God. But he doesn't have a bite. All he can do to you is put things in your mind and things in your heart. Hear what I said to you? I said he can only put things in your mind and things in your heart. He has no teeth. He has no powerful paws. Amen. But he can put fear here, and he can put fear here. He can put doubts in your mind, and he can put fears in your heart. But that's the only power that he has. Amen. He has no other power over you tonight. Amen. Bible said we're not ignorant of his devices. Let's stand together. We're not ignorant of his devices. We are not ignorant of his devices. We know him. Praise God. We know our enemy today. But more than knowing our enemy, we know our Lord today. We know our victory today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We put our trust in the Word of God. We stand steadfast on the Word of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to the Lord.
We've got the
praise
power.
The name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus.
In the name of the Lord.
Praise God. Brother Magruder told us that his wife, Sister Magruder, was going through a horrible battle with cancer in her body. And one morning he rolled over and noticed that she was not in the bed with him. And so he got up and he walked into the living room, and he saw his wife standing in the bed, in the room, and he walked over and he noticed that she was standing on the Bible. And he said, "Honey, what are you doing?" She said, I'm feeling really bad. She said, "My body's really full of pain." And she said, I'm having a real hard time. She said, "But I'm just standing on the Word of God." She said, "I know that everything else is going to pass away, but the Word of God and His promises are not going to pass away. So I'm just standing on the Word of the Lord." Amen. The Bible said, when you've done all to stand therefore. Amen. And put on the whole armor of God. Amen. Folks, we were created for victory. Amen. We are victors in Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. We are not going to be. We are. We are. Praise God. But what we've got to do, just stand on the Word. Amen. And stay in Christ. Stay in Christ. Don't get out of the ship. Stay in Christ. Hallelujah. In Him we have the victory. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Because He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. And He is our victory tonight. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn our face to the Lord right now. Let's give Him thanks tonight for His Word. God, amen. We are not ignorant of our enemy's devices, of his thoughts, of his intents. of his tricks and his traps and his temptations. We have the truth today hidden in our hearts, and we're not going to let anything steal it away. Praise God. Thank you for the blood that washed us and cleansed us. Thank you for the name of Jesus that sealed us today, God, in Jesus Christ. And thank you for the Holy Ghost that empowers us every day that we live. Amen. In Jesus' name, I thank you today. I give you honor and praise and glory and thanks in the name of Jesus. Amen. Señor, presentes en tu presencia. Tú estás aquí con nosotros en este lugar. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's lift our hands and our voices one more time. Lift up your hands and your faith unto the Lord. Bless his name. Oh, I thank you tonight, Jesus, for victory. Hallelujah. I thank you tonight, Jesus. Amen. What a great God. What a great God. Amen. This is our victory, even our faith. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the faith that you give. Amen. Thank you for the grace that you give. Thank you for the power that we have in the Holy Ghost. Amen. I thank you today. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ah.